Ladies and gentlemen, very good afternoon to you all, and welcome to RMC Switchgears Limited's investor meeting produced by Elevees. So I'm Shankhini Saha. I'm the Director of Investor Relations from Dickenson, and I'll be moderating our call today. So joining us from the RMC's management team today is Mr. Ankit Agarwal, Whole-Time Director and CEO. Please note that this conference is being recorded and that some statements in this call may be forward-looking, based on current expectations and subject to risks that could cause results to differ materially. We'll start with some opening remarks from Ankit. Ankit, over to you for some opening remarks.
Thanks, Shankhini. Nice to having this call with all our investors. And I am accompanied with our COO, Mr. Manish Mantri. He's also with me. So I myself is Ankit Agarwal, full-time director and CEO of RMC Switchgears Limited. And I welcome you all to this investor call. On behalf of our entire organization, I would like to extend a warm welcome to our esteemed investor, analyst, and stakeholders attending our first-ever Investor Day event. This marks a significant step in our commitment to transparency, as this is our first public financial interaction beyond press releases and investor deck. Let me first give you company's overview, where our business spans from enclosure to power technology. So, RMC Switchgears Limited was established in 1994, originally incorporated as RFH Metal Castings Private Limited. We have since evolved into a prominent player in the electrical infrastructure solution sector. Our core identity is rooted in pioneering solutions designed to prevent electrical theft and enhance public safety by reducing the risk of electrocution in India. Today, RMC operates one of the largest electrical enclosure manufacturing facilities in the country. Spanning 8 lakh square feet, we have an established reputation, especially in the smart meter enclosure market, supporting utilities across India, including thorough initiatives like the revamped distribution sector scheme, which we commonly known as RDSS. Now, let me spend a few minutes explaining our business model and transition. We are exclusively focusing on products and services that solve the most pressing problems in the electrical industry, such as electrical theft, sustainable and reliable power, and electrocution. Accordingly, we have designed all our offerings for the state utilities through four integrated verticals: electrical products, electrical EPC, solar EPC, and solar products. In our electrical products division, we manufacture essential low voltage and medium voltage power distribution equipments, mainly smart meter enclosures, feeder pillars, distribution boxes, and electrical panels. Our electrical EPC vertical provides turnkey solution, including undertaking projects in transmission and distribution infrastructure and deploying smart grids, feeder segregation, substations under government schemes like RDSS, loss reduction, and feeder separation, which is funded partially by central government and balanced by the state government, and various other state government schemes funded by the state government or World Bank and Asian Development Banks. Our business strategy is driven by our capabilities to offer bespoke solutions and leverage our technical expertise to develop cost-effective electrical and IoT-enabled solutions for power distribution companies. Our innovative low-tension power distribution system, that is PulseBox, successfully completed its proof of concept during Q2 FY26. It is designed to enhance grid safety, deter electricity theft, and help utilities reduce technical losses. The next phase involves securing utility approvals, formal pilot configurations, and commercial negotiations. Our target market include state public utilities, private utility companies, and advanced metering infrastructure service providers, and various electrical EPC companies and solar EPC and IPP companies. We are well positioned to meet the current demand for smart meter enclosures, along with our business model, aligns perfectly with the government's investment plan of 9 lakh crore rupees in transmission sector and 5 lakh crore rupees in distribution sector under the RDSS Part 2, which is modernization of the electrical infrastructure. We are doing this through our electrical EPC vertical, along with a mammoth target of 500 gigawatt of renewable power generation in solar 30. While we continue to organically grow these businesses, we are also strategically transitioning to become as renewables infrastructure integrated player. A central element of our strategy is our evolution into a vertically integrated infrastructure player. RMC's foray into renewable energy is a natural progression, leveraging our existing electrical infrastructure expertise to contribute to India's clean energy goals. We are actively participating in tenders issued by the government-backed companies for electrical and solar EPC. And as of today, we have participated in tenders worth rupees 1500 crores with more to come. We are L1 in tenders worth 70 crores for which we have already received the NOA, and we are waiting for LOA soon. This project will be the first of our company in transmission sector, which has opened the doors to fresh opportunities for 9 lakh crore rupees for transmission lines in the country. This combination has positioned RMC as a unique company in India, offering end-to-end solutions that not only provide ample opportunities for the company, but also ensure we always maintain a competitive edge. Before we get into specifics of these forays, let me quickly run through the financial performance of the company for first half of FY26 consolidated result basis. The results for the first half of the current financial year were shared recently. On a consolidated basis, RMC reported revenue from operations of 221.61 crores in H1 26, representing approximately 111.50% year-on-year growth over H1 FY25. This growth reflects strong execution across our business segment. The revenue contribution during this period was weighted significantly toward our project execution segments. Solar EPC projects contributed 104.46 crores, representing approximately 52% of our total revenue. Electrical EPC, whereas, contributed 57.49 crores, represented approximately 26% of the total revenue. Balance, electrical products contributed around 49.66 crores, which was around 22% of the total revenue. Our profitability has grown significantly, with profit after tax increasing by 97.93% year-on-year to 20 crore rupees. Similarly, EBITDA rose to 71.46% to 34 crore rupees. Regarding margin trends, our EBITDA margin stood at 15.34% in H1 26, compared to approximately 19% in H1 FY25. This movement reflects a conscious strategic decision by the management to prioritize volume expansion and market share in the solar and electrical EPC segment, focusing on higher absolute profit growth rather than short-term percentage of margins. Despite this strategic shift, we continue to maintain strong financial discipline, operating with a debt equity ratio of 0.59 times and a working capital cycle of 60 days. Let's now discuss some operational highlights and strategic execution progress we have made. We have made tangible progress in strengthening our operational foundation, focusing on capacity, people, and capital management. With respect to our human capital, we have made significant progress in our staffing and leadership capacity building. We have intentionally enhanced our board and management bandwidth to support our diversification and growth trajectory. We must first acknowledge the loss of board experience during this period. We sadly note the passing of our independent director, Mr. Kuljit Singh Popli, on April 18, 2025. Mr. Popli brought deep insight and commitment from India's renewable energy sector, and his guidance was invaluable in shaping our initial steps into the clean energy space. We also focused on deepening the management capacity within our key growth subsidiary, RMC Green Energy Private Limited. Effective June 3, 2025, we appointed Mr. Samujil Ganguly as the business head of RMC Green. Mr. Ganguly is a seasoned renewable energy professional with over 30 years of experience, bringing depth in solar EPC execution and project delivery. To reinforce our regulatory and compliance infrastructure, particularly amidst rapid business expansion, we appointed Mrs. Shivani Bairathi as the new compliance officer of the company on June 23, 2025. In our financial management, a transition occurred on July 4, 25, when Mrs. Neha Agarwal, already serving as executive director, assumed the additional charge of being CFO. This temporary arrangement was put in place to ensure stable management following the previous incumbent's departure in April 25. In the second quarter of the current financial year, we further our financial and accounts department to enhance financial governance and operational rigor. We inducted two senior professionals, specialized human capital necessary to manage large multi-vertical infrastructure operations and ensure robust oversight as we scale. We also have an ESOP policy in place to ensure our employees' growth alongside with the company. Let me now update you quickly on our manufacturing expansion progress. We had earlier announced our plan to set up 1 gigawatt of solar module plant. After a detailed review of policy and technology landscape, especially the upcoming DCR cell requirement from June 26, we believe that this is not the optimal time to commit large capital to module manufacturing. Domestic cell availability and performance are still evolving, and global technologies are shifting rapidly from PERC to TOPCon and HJT. Entering manufacturing during this transition risk locking into technology that may become outdated quickly. We had also evaluated part funding the plant through an equity raise and reached advanced discussions. However, at current market conditions, issuing equity would be value destructive and unnecessarily dilutive to existing shareholders. The board has therefore chosen to protect shareholder value and defer the capex. We will instead fund our growth through internal accruals, selective debt, and operational cash flows. It is important to clarify that investments already made, land, subsidiaries, capitalization, and certain equipment remain strategic. These assets form a future-ready base for the project when the ecosystem stabilizes. The technical team hired for the plant is now strengthening our solar EPC execution capabilities. This calibrated approach ensures we enter manufacturing at the right time, with the right technology, and without compromising shareholder value. The company is also taking preparatory steps for migration from BSE SME platform to BSE mainboard and listing on NSE, viewing this as a step towards enhanced market visibility and engagement with a larger pool of investors. In closing, I would like to address our progress towards Vision 2030. We recognize that our long-term aspirations of achieving 5,000 crores in sale by 2030 is ambitious and requires structural scaling and with stability. We do not view recent achievements as a guarantee of linear progression, but rather as early proof points that the foundation we are building is directionally sound. Our performance in H1 26 reflects this, with consolidated revenue growth of 111.50% year-on-year. We are beginning to see tangible results from the strategic bets we have made over the past few years. This execution strength is supported by a healthy order pipeline of approximately 825 crores to be delivered over the next 12 months, providing visibility and confidence as we scale forward. At this time, we continue to take this discipline and future-oriented decisions to protect long-term competitiveness. Our approach to backward integration is a strong example. We remain committed to entering module manufacturing at the right time, with the right technology, and in the right environment, where the domestic supply chain is mature and stable. The current deferral is a strategic pause, not an abandonment, designed to ensure that when we enter manufacturing, it is future-ready and aligned with global technology cycles, safeguarding long-term ROCE. This disciplined capital allocation is central to our Vision 2030. We are directing resources towards areas with the highest risk-adjusted returns, strengthening our EPC engine, expanding our electrical product portfolio, and developing emerging IoT-based solutions such as PulseBox. These pillars collectively are intended to future-proof the business and propel us towards sustainable scale. Our commitment to this long-term vision is built upon clear strategic pillars that are intended to future-proof our business. Backward integration, manufacturing capabilities of manufacturing various electrical equipment, including solar module mounting structures, expanded EPC capabilities, strengthening our execution capacities across both solar and electrical domain helps us secure strategic contracts and build long-term relationships within the utility ecosystem. Focus on high-value products, continuous innovation, and focus on high-margin specialized solutions such as smart meter enclosures and the new pulse box address critical industry issues like theft and safety, distinguishing us from the competitors. Capacity building, ongoing investments in management grid and manufacturing capacity ensure we can scale operations reasonably. We are honored by the recent external validation of our corporate discipline, including our inclusion in Forbes Asia's Best Under a Billion 2025 list, which affirms the quality of our governance and disciplined execution. As we scale, our focus remains squarely on maintaining financial prudence, strengthening our management bandwidth, and adhering to core principles of scaling with stability. We understand the necessity of remaining agile and responsive to evolving market dynamics to steadily advance towards our Vision 2030. Thank you for your time and interest in RMC Switchgears Limited. We are now happy to open the floor for question and answers. I hand over to Shankini.
Thank you for those opening remarks, Ankit. We'll now get into the Q&A session. Here's a quick reminder on how you can raise your hand to join the question queue for our Q&A session. If you're on desktop or laptop, look for the reactions button at the bottom of your Zoom window. Click on it, then select raise hand from the options. Your name will appear in the queue and I will call on you. If you're on mobile or tablet, tap on the more dot 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 button at the bottom right of your screen, then select raise hand from the menu. Our first question will be from the line of Aman Soni. Aman, you can go ahead and mute yourself and ask your question. Aman, you may unmute yourself and go ahead and ask your question.
Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible. Please go ahead with your question.
Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on the ongoing challenges on the order inflow front and the central government's recent announcement placing a 42 gigawatt contract on hold. So there is a degree of uncertainty in the sector. So in this context, could you help us understand what gives you the confidence to maintain the current order book and the growth outlook along with the order inflows? Additionally, how do you plan to tackle these headwinds without compromising the historical net margin of around maybe 10% that we have always committed? That's my first question, sir.
I think I would like to break these questions. There are so many questions in a single point. So what exactly you want to ask? Like, you want to ask the government has stopped certain 2 gigawatt of orders. So what will it will impact on us? Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So whatever orders we have, no impact will be there on the orders. The reason behind, whenever we get an order, it is a contract. And contract cannot be a single-sidedly handled by any party. So no problem is there on the current orders. As far as the further 2 gigawatt is concerned, that is they have stopped the PPAs and not the EPCs, what we are doing. We are not only doing the EPC for central government, we are doing for all state governments. So we don't find any problem in getting the orders. Point number three, we are also targeting Andhra Pradesh. If you will see recent news, Andhra Pradesh is very much exclusively getting more and more money and funds on developing the green energy corridor. So state-wise, getting orders is not a problem. So that is my answer.
And regarding the order inflows and specifically our entry into FY27, how do you see FY27 as a whole for RMC? Because the current order book may give us the growth for second half this year. That's fine, but what about FY27, sir?
So, as I mentioned, that we have already participated in the tenders worth 1500 crores, and we are still participating in more tenders. And our old conversion ratio is around 30 to 35%, whatever we bid. So, accordingly, we see that we would like to see going forward in the next FY with the order book of good amount. I can't commit the numbers, but yes, whatever we are targeting, we can be sure that we will be entering in the next financial year with that order book. We
So
are doing some
now,
aggressive bidding, yeah.
we are not entering into a module part. I just wanted to understand how much investments we have already made in this direction, number one. And number two, what about the change in growth plans? Like from here, we should look at RMC as a product company or the EPC company? Because as far as I am seeing, we are dependent upon the government orders growth, order inflows, right, for growth purpose.
Yeah. So I think it is better to see RMC as a solution company because we are more focused on solution, providing solution to our customers' problem. And the problems we have always talking about is the electrocution, electrical theft. So it is not a product company, it is a solution company. Point number two, the module manufacturing, we have paused, we have deferred, we have not eliminated the thing. We will be doing it, that is for sure. But since there are so many policy changes, the cells are not generating the proper power, the Indian cells. So we believe that Indian government will come with some or the other challenges or policies or amendment in policies. So I think this policy or market yet to be get mature. And so just playing with this huge investment on uncertainty, as you very well said, uncertainty. We don't want to play just burn our hands. So we will wait until we get a clarity.
Thanks for your questions, Aman, and thanks for your answers, Ankit. Aman, you can raise your hand again to join the queue to ask more follow-ups. Ankit, I'll request you to keep your camera on during the Q&A session.
Okay, my camera. Okay, it was mistakenly done.
No worries, no worries at all. So we'll move on to the next participant asking a question. Our next participant will be Mr. S. Singh. Mr. Singh, you can unmute your line and go ahead and ask your questions.
Yeah, good afternoon and congratulations for the strong set of numbers. Just to confirm, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are.
Okay, Mr. Ankit, my question would be that what would be your guidance for the second half of FY26? I remember the previous PowerPoint had mentioned very aggressive growths for the next 5 years. So, is there any change in those growth rates or what will be the growth for second half of 26 and also financial year 27?
Actually, that growth included solar module. And as far as this module being on pause, we still have to work out on the growth plans. But yes, it will be, I can assure you that we will be going for a steady growth. I don't find any reason why we don't want to do that because of the lot of money and investments coming from the government side and the lot of pressure from the government side. So, but I on absolute numbers, I'm not able to give it right now.
So in the current presentation, you have mentioned 30% CAGR. This is what is in your planning?
Sir, actually, I'll tell you that I won't be able to commit anything until we work on it because of the recent developments. But yes, we are working on it and we'll get back to you with the numbers as soon as possible.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for your question, Mr. Singh. Our next line of questions will be from the line of Kunal Agarwal. Kunal, you can go ahead and unmute your line and ask your question, please. Hi, Kunal, you can go ahead and ask your question. We'll move on to the next question in the meantime. Kunal, you can raise your hand again and rejoin the queue. We have some questions that have been written in to us, so we'll take some of those. This is a question from Mr. Saurav Khara. So, Ankit, could you walk us through how the overall transmission and distribution value chain operates and where RMC Switchgears positions itself within this ecosystem?
Okay, so basically, the supply chain of transmission and distribution operates from the tendering, right from the tendering and right to the award of contracts to the electrical contractors. So we position ourselves being the EPC players under the transmission sector and the distribution sector both. And we are also having a backward integration in terms of electrical panel manufacturing, which we sell to the EPC contractors and for our own consumption. So currently we are doing only for the low voltage. I think Shankani, I'm not able to open my camera. That's fine. So we are operating only for the low voltage criteria, but soon we are entering into medium voltage and high voltage. Nothing will change. Customers won't change, and the manufacturing facility won't change. It is just a product offering, so we are increasing that product offering also.
Thanks, Ankit. Is there a standard ratio on number of switchgear panels typically associated with each transformer KV class? For example, 11 KV transformer, 33 KV transformer, 66 KV transformer.
So there is no capacity allocated in KVA terms, but rather since all the panels are on the custom-made model, so it is very hard to decide the quantity, the capacity based on the quantities. Rather, we calculate on the basis of the base metal, like the capacity for manufacturing of metal enclosures is around 300 metric ton per month, and for SMC it is 100 metric ton per month. So we calculate the capacity blocked in capacity available in that metric ton. That's for internal purposes.
Thanks for your answers, Ankit. We'll take another participant from the question queue. So our next participant asking questions will be from the line of Mahavir Jain. Mahavir, you can go ahead and unmute yourself and ask your question.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, congratulations on the great set of numbers.
Thank you, sir.
I just have a question, sir, with regards to BESS. How and where are we placing RMC? And with regards to the new policy change that we have by the central government, where we see there's a shortage in transmission lines, how do we place RMC on those lines as well? Thank you.
Thanks for asking this question. Actually, BESS is a very upcoming thing, and we are bidding aggressively in BESS tenders. We have already secured two, three joint ventures. with the best manufacturers, and we are participating in the tenders. And since we have to do EPC, so BESS is not a new technology, like not a different technology for us. So we have the capabilities of doing BESS. As far as the transmission line is concerned, there's a since there's a the transmission infrastructure made in India was very old, is very old, and it was sufficient to transfer the power, which is already through traditional modes. But now, since the heavy generation of the solar power, it is very hard, becoming very hard to transfer the power to transmission lines because of the scarcity of the lines. And that is where you will see that connectivity issues are prominent in all over the central government and all the state governments. And that is where the transmission lines are being created on a larger scale by the Indian government, which is attracting the investment of around 9 lakh crore rupees. And that is where our TAM exists, our total addressable market exists of 9 lakh crore. And that is where today's NOA, which was reported to Bombay Stock Exchange, becomes crucial, because it has opened new doors for us to being in transmission sector. So now the total addressable market for RMC is around 20 lakh crore rupees, where 5 lakh crore rupees from RDSS, 9 lakh crore rupees from the transmission lines, and balance from solar. So we believe that there's a pool of opportunities now.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for your question, Mahavir. Our next participant asking a question will be from the line of Vinay Lakhera. Vinay, you can go ahead and unmute yourself and ask your question, please.
Hello. Hi, sir. Congratulations on the good results.
Thank you, sir.
So I just had a few questions. So, for example, the EPC segment for us is relatively new, right? For example, the transmission and the solar side. So if we see in these two particular segment, we have some players who are aggressively like getting backward integrated, and who are already, for example, in rooftop or pump, we have several players who already have the 1 or 2 gigawatt of capacity for modules. And on the pump side, we already have pump players who are entering into pump EPC now aggressively. And similarly for the EPC on the transmission side, but the story is a bit similar. So, like, how do you see this competitive landscape in this particular segment? Because for us in the future, that will be the major part of the growth, right? So, what will be RMC's right to win in these two segments? Like, what do you, what are your views? Just wanted to know about that.
As far as we are talking about transmission and distribution in solar EPC, yes, we are new to this segment. But whenever you talk about the government projects always look for the credibility in terms of your engineering team and in terms of the existence in with the customer. Whenever you deal with an old customer, they always see that what type of reputation you hold, what type of credential you hold. So we are glad and we are proud to say that we have always given on-time deliveries to our customers, maybe project. And this opens up a whole new USP for RMC. Point number two, as far as today is concerned, we are able to create our credentials in terms of technical capabilities. Not on the side of manpower. We have the manpower already. We have whatever the manpower we have is sufficient or is good, capable enough for handling these two areas. But as far as order book is concerned, the past experience in terms of orders, currently the joint venture agreements are there in the government, which we think will be eliminated in future to make more stringent. And that is where RMC will play a key role, having a total experience of distribution and transmission in solar. So I think there will be a consolidation where RMC will be a winner because of all these segments altogether. No other company will have all these segments in a single place.
Yeah, so thanks a lot for the response. It is quite
Thank
clear
you.
now. But sir, one question on the as I mentioned, most of the big players are also in on the EPC side. So how are we currently competing with them in terms of pricing? Do you see any type of price competition in the industry on the both of these segments?
Sir, can you give some example of big players, because big players has no definition.
Yeah, so for let I'll just give an example. For example, on the EPC side, if we are saying we are going to execute something in PM Kusum, right? That is on the pump side. So several players, for example, if I name a few, for example, Shakti Pumps. Let's take one example. They have been the leader in the pump industry and in the PM Kusum segment as well. And now they have come up with a massive capacity for rooftop solar addition. So, when we see these kind of players, how do we see the future pricing competition in this particular industry? Because as far as of now, we are not backward integrated. Maybe in the future we'll be. But currently, what kind of competitive intensity you see in this industry?
Sir, actually, if you will compare with big companies like Shakti Pumps, so they are big because they have a strong technical team, engineering team, and it all takes money. And their purchasing power is also very low. Okay. Similarly, if we also have our quantities, we are not into small quantities either. So we enjoy the same benefits. Rather, we might have a less number of human capital because we are doing smaller projects as compared to Shakti. The problem is not with the big supplier, big companies. The problem is with the small companies when you have to do a competition with these small companies. But there comes a benefit of working in government because there is an entry barrier in government, which is known as pre-qualification requirements, because government wants to compare the price of apple to apple and peer to peer. It will never compare the price of apple and orange, which means that if somebody has a different credential, but there is a different requirement of credential in a company, which we have. So if they want to match that credential of being having that particular level of engineering, then they have to spend money, and then the costing comes on parity. So I don't think that will be the problem in any case. But so this is my point, that we will be enjoying the same type of profits in future.
Okay, so thanks a lot for answering the questions.
Thanks for your questions, Vinay. You can raise your hand again if you'd like to ask any follow-up questions. Our next line of questions will be from the line of Akhilesh Maurya. Akhilesh, you can unmute yourself and go ahead and ask your question, please.
Thank you, ma'am. Congratulations to RMC for very good numbers.
Thank you.
Actually, I was asking regarding the expansion plan in solar panel manufacturing. Right now, government is not going that much aggressive as it was earlier. So, as RMC has planned to set up a plant for module manufacturing, so how will you go ahead from now on? Or are you venturing into other avenues like green hydrogen or methanol or other energy transition products where government is now focusing?
Sir, currently we are only looking for four A verticals we have discussed, in which no green hydrogen or methanol is involved right now, because we are focusing only on four. As far as module manufacturing is concerned, this has been a main part in my opening remark, that we have already halted the plans as of now. We have deferred until and unless we get some clarity on the policies of the cell and the qualities of cell stabilizers. So until then, we have already paused the plan.
Hi, Akhilesh. You can unmute yourself. I think there's some background noise. Yeah.
Okay. So actually, then I am asking regarding a smart meter expansion plan. like government was pushing for more smart meters, and there is a huge opportunity for that. So how much revenue growth are you expecting from that segment in next year or next half year?
I believe the smart metering enclosure segment should see double digit growth year on year until it gets completed, because whatever the roadblocks are there, they are getting eliminated. So I think double digit growth is quite good enough.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks for your questions. Our next participant asking a question will be from the line of Dhaval Gupta. Dhaval, you can unmute yourself and go ahead and ask your question. Hi, Dhaval, you can proceed with asking your question. We'll move on to some written questions in the meantime. We have a question sent in from Mr. Manavu Mehta. So, Ankit, how are we diversifying into our other geographies? And plus, what is the update on our water management subsidiary, which we have incorporated?
So we are diversifying in geographies. Currently, we are only looking for the pan-India basis. So geographies means the number of states. So we are already present in all these states. We want to first reap all the benefits what domestic market has to offer. Secondly, water management subsidiary has been now pulled for Kusum project. Now Kusum project is being developed under that subsidiary. Water projects have been put on hold because when we started water projects, then we were not hoping for such a big opportunities in electrical sector what we saw then now. So I think first we should work completely on electrical sector.
Thanks for that answer, Ankit. We'll take another written question. This is actually from Dhaval Gupta, so it works well. Ankit, what's the status for the Smart Pulse box? We did some showcasing to few of the government electricity departments. Any orders that we are expecting, and what's the scale like?
So, as I have mentioned in my opening remarks, that the POC have been completed. And currently, the samples have been deployed under various states, and they are being tested. Negotiations are being done, and technical specifications are being designed. Since all the procurement happens in the government through tendering, so we will have to wait for the formal sales velocity. It might take 6 to 8 months until we get some orders. So we are getting positive response. As far as total addressable market is concerned, we have already given some idea anticipations of the opportunities available in India that can be referred to. I am unable to say the exact numbers or percentage, but I think even for 1%, if we are able to convert, that will be a huge opportunity for RMC.
Thanks, Ankit. Our next participant asking a question will be from the line of Abhishek Agarwal. Abhishek, you can unmute yourself and go ahead and ask your question, please.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question. My first question is regarding the 1 gigawatt of Rajasthan government order for development of solar park that I guess we bagged a few quarters back. So what is the status of that as of now?
So land acquisitions are underway. We are still waiting for the land clearances because the land which is being proposed to us was not feasible because of substations unavailability. So still land acquisition is a concern for us. So we are hoping to get, as soon as we get the land, then we'll start doing that.
Sure. And also, I believe we exhibited our pulse box in Sahara Star recently in Mumbai. So So, were there also private players that showed interest to us? And how do you see the environment shaping up for us with respect to private players apart from government?
So this is not a model which can be supplied to a private right now, because we have made all the software with AI features for the utility specifically. So yes, private utility companies like Adani and BSES had shown interest. But first, since we want to not open doors with many customers, because it will be the lot of technical expertise and human intervention is also required at once. Once we start with one or two states, then we'll definitely scale up it to the balance of India. So, but yes, your question answer is yes, many people have shown interest.
Sure, that helped. Thank you and wish you all the very best.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thanks for your question, Abhishek, and thanks for your answer, Ankit. Our next participant asking a question will be from the line of Shreyans J. Shreyans, you can go ahead and unmute yourself and ask your question, please.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Hi, Ankit. Thanks for all the discussions and answering all the questions. I just wanted to know about the great innovation by RMC team on pulse box for preventing electrocution and power theft. So, do you plan to execute this plan and overseas? And can you just briefly explain the key features in terms of the execution plan and other detail?
So actually, overseas we are not thinking of as of now, because first, as it is a proverb that first help yourself, then help others. So first, our country needs it most, and this was specifically developed for India. So we are working to only first focus on India. And once it is done, then definitely we'll see overseas. As far as the opportunity is concerned, we are currently we want to first serve of one state or two state. We want to see what benefits they can reap, because if a product can save some money for the DISCOM, then only this product will have the value. So I think we will scale up after 1 year about this product. For the first year, we will have a small business with some state, and then we will have a, so that we will have a proof of, I would say, supply, and we will have some creditability then. So this is the thing we are going ahead with. I hope I have given correct, like proper answer to you.
Yes, Ankit, thanks for that. Also, if you can mention like how it would benefit in terms of reaching your 5,000 crore revenue goal, would this be a big portion of that goal? Is there a possibility for that?
100% there's a possibility, because actually, if you will see the total addressable market we have given is very huge. It is around 140,000 crore rupees of total addressable market, which we don't have bandwidth also to do that. So that is why I told that even 1% will help us to do many things. So I think it will become a majority or a major part of our supply chain of our electrical product solution system or electrical product vertical. Point number two, that 5,000 scale is very much achievable with the help of transmission, distribution, and solar EPC. So if you will see other companies working on only on these, the amount of orders are very huge. So that is not a problem I see.
Great, Ankit. Also, there's one more question. I just happened to see a video on YouTube, a clip of you in an exhibition, actually. So there you had mentioned with a person from Norway, Mr. Elling. So you had mentioned that there's been a deal that's been discussed with him. So on green hydrogen. So can you give a highlight on that as well?
I am so worried now. You are seeing such a extensively all the videos. I have to be extra cautious now. So actually, Shreyansji, we always have so many discussions and developments are going on. I think everybody wants that. Everybody wants to reap all the opportunities. But I don't think that we should be aggressive enough to leave our forte. Our forte is currently electrical. Until and unless we get some maturity in the market of hydrogen, we don't want to put our legs into it. But yes, definitely, I want to study. I love learning and I love talking to people. So that is just for that.
Okay, the other company that I was talking about, they also have like energy storage solutions. So in your EPC contracts, do you expect the other company to give you solutions on that, the storage solutions, and if and how it could benefit RMC on that?
Yeah, definitely. As I told earlier that we have participated or we are also participating in tenders with the joint venture of battery energy storage manufacturers also. And we will be doing EPC and they will be supplying us BESS. So yes, so we are on it.
Great, Ankit. Thanks for answering all the questions.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for your questions, Shreyans, and thanks for your answers, Ankit. Our next participant asking questions will be from the line of Hriday Jain. Hriday, you can go ahead and unmute yourself and ask your question.
Hello,
Yes,
am I
Hriday,
audible?
go ahead. Yes.
Yeah, hi, thank you for the opportunity. So I just wanted to ask that we see a massive jump in other current assets, like it gone from 23 to around 80 crore rupees. What exactly drove this increase? And secondly, from the same line, what led to the rise in short-term borrowings as well for this quarter?
I have to see the financials in such depth again, but as far as very briefly, I can tell you that the rise in current assets are due to the retention amount what they keep the government keeps while releasing the payment, so they will be released within a year's time, and that is why they are into current assets. And short-term borrowings, the increase in short-term borrowings means that we have the reason behind would be like to meet the creditor payment days. We have taken these short-term borrowings because of the working capital requirement in EPCs. We need money for that. So, but overall, if you will see our debt equity ratio, it is very well under the control. We are just next to we debt free.
All right.
So, yeah.
So also, as you said that you have paused the module manufacturing part. So for the second half, are we seeing any other CapEx element or CapEx measure?
That question is little critical. As of now, nothing is in my mind, but since we are doing all the projects for the government, so we always want to have an outlook of the government which has a maturity level. So when we do some CapEx, we'll definitely read the government's certainty on any project, and then only we'll be able to do that. So not on the cards right now.
All right. Thank you so much,
Thank
Ankit.
you.
Thanks for your question, Shreya. Thanks for your answer,
Thank you.
Ankit. We have a written question come in. So this question is from the line of Bhargav. So the question is, Ankit, are margins falling due to aggressive bidding or poor cost management?
Okay, you are done with the question?
Yeah, that's the question. Please go.
Okay. So basically, since we are not work the like the change in margins is a strategic decision. At this stage of our growth, we are positioning scale and absolute profit. So rather than margin percentage, actually. And this is, I think, a temporary dilution, which is intentional and aligned with our broader execution plan. Our bidding is continuing to remain disciplined, and we are not taking any low margin projects out of pressure. Rather than we are monitoring margin behavior, and we expect stability as the business gains scale and operating leverage. So there's nothing of a poor cost management or aggressive bidding.
Thanks for that answer, Ankit. We'll take another participant next. So our next line of question will be from the line of Pranav Bora. Pranav, you can go ahead and unmute yourself and ask your question.
Hello, 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 sir. I'm audible.
Hi.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Sir, just I have one question. Your gross margins fell meaningfully in H1 26, right? Due to heavy project mix. So do you expect the margins to recover by when the solar projects goes live, or any other thing is there that it can recover our margins, sir?
You are talking about margins in terms of percentage or absolute value?
Both, sir. It's on absolute value, sir.
Absolute value has rose. It has the margins have
Comparatively to last
value
half.
wise it has risen. The percentage wise it has fallen.
Okay, sir. Sorry, it was my mistake. But sir, can you just help me with percentage wise, sir?
So if you're talking about percentage wise, I've just recently answered this question. And so basically we are following the absolute value, because at one point you can't have a same margins, but you can always increase the profit by value. So we are focusing on the value.
Okay, you are focusing on the value.
Yeah. So margins can never be the same when you are dealing in the highly competitive market, and that is a strategic decision we are taking,
Okay.
because expenses are fixed. The expenses will not increase. So even with the low, so you this can be proved that even with the lower EBITDA, my PAT has increased.
Okay, got it, sir.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for your questions, Pranav. We'll take some follow-up questions now. I think Mahavir has his hand raised. Mahavir, you can go ahead and unmute yourself and ask your follow-up question.
Oh, I don't have any questions. I just.
Okay, no problem at all. So we'll take some written questions then, Ankit. I think this will be meaningful to get into more details. So the question is from Ramprasad N. Ankit, can you share revenue, EBITDA, and PAT guidance for FY26 and FY27? Also, does the old guidance of 3,000 crore by FY30 still hold, or will the guidance be revised?
I think I have already given the answer to this question, that there are no guidances as of now because of the change in strategy recently. So we are working on it, and as soon as we work, then we'll let you know.
Thank you for that clarification. We'll take this question next. This question is from the line of Tejas Khandelwal. Can you give us more detail on the current order book and what is the execution period?
So currently the order book stands at around 800 crores, and the completion period would be in next 12 months.
Great. So I see there are some other written questions, but since we're nearing the end of time, I'd recommend for participants to send them in via email on the email ID on the last slide of the investor deck, and Dickinson will be happy to get answers from Ankit and team that meet your satisfaction. So we'll wrap up today's call. All participants should receive a feedback survey at the end of this call. Kindly take a few moments to fill that in. I'll now hand over back to Ankit for some closing remarks. Over to you, Ankit.
Thanks, Shankani. Thanks, Dickinson, and thanks all the investors who have shown trust and faith in us. We are definitely working to make this company to a next level, great height. I feel that all your trust, what we need, all your trust and blessings. We are working really hard. Our whole team is working really very hard. And Mr. Manish Mantri is also sitting beside me, and he's the major part of our execution person. So I think in the last few years we have done extemporary the execution part, and so we are on our way. Thank you so much for your love and affection.
Thank you, Ankit, for your time today and for taking the trouble to answer the questions in so much detail. And thanks to all
My
our
pleasure.
participants for spending time with us today. On behalf of RMC Switchgears Limited, it's been a pleasure to host you all today. Please reach out to us at Dickinson IR if we can support you with any other information, and we look forward to seeing you all again. So have a very pleasant afternoon, Ankit, and to all our
Thank you.
participants. You can
Thank
now
you.
disconnect your lines. Thank
Bye-bye.
you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ankit. Bye.